Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Hi, everybody. Jill Jack here, and you are listening, watching Dream Big with Jill Jack. And I love being on this show, and I'm so honored to be a part of the Empower Radio family and to do this new version of it, especially during the pandemic. I feel like it's really nice to be connected and give me more of an opportunity to connect with you. So let's get started. Today, I want to talk about hope. And as I've said in the past, during some of my shows when I'm prepping and trying to figure out what we should talk about, you know, what guests we should have and things like that, I really, really just kind of meditate and get quiet because there's obviously so many subjects we can talk about, right? But I was thinking about hope in the human spirit. And we have seen so much going on with this pandemic. And yes, there's huge dark side of it. There's absolutely, I'm not denying some of the darkness that's there. A lot of the darkness, the death, the just the fear and everything. But isn't it interesting? And this just, you know, popped in my head about we have this spirit within us, even when we're sad, even when we're so scared or we're feeling out of control, there is something inside of us that gets us up every day. Now, when I say get up, I don't mean like everybody gets up and runs like a 10K. No, you know, sometimes you get up and you just stay in bed and like stay on your phone and just read the news and things like that. But you're still up. You're still curious. You're still thinking. You're still moving somehow. Where does that come from? I mean, I'm curious myself. Like, you know, Mother's Day was yesterday, and it was Mother's Day was Sunday, and it's a tough day for some people. Some people have lost their mothers. Some people are estranged from their mothers. And then there's beautiful things about Mother's Day. But no matter what, that day really seems to bring out the human spirit in people. You know, I watched, I don't know if you've seen the show with Tom Hanks, I'm trying to think of the movie now, where he portrays, I can't think of it. But the bottom line was, the theme of the movie in it was that this man had a, Mr. Rogers, thank you. This man had a terrible relationship with his father. And in that movie, Tom Hanks portrays Mr. Rogers, and he says, you should thank your father. Now, this man's father was an alcoholic. This man's father was abusive. This man's father did nothing to support and motivate this man. And so when Mr. Rogers said, you know, thank him, he's like, what? And he said, you wouldn't be who you are if your father wasn't that way to you. Now, not to say who he might have been, right? He might have been obviously someone a little more different, but he was a fighter. He wanted to succeed. He searched for the truth. He was a writer. He wanted to really work hard. Now, who knows what would have happened if his father was supportive? I'm not saying it's not important to be supportive to your children. It is. But somewhere in that man, even though his father tried to beat him to a pulp physically and emotionally, he had human spirit. He had hope. There was something in there. Now, he was damaged. His wife had a hard time connecting to him and things like that, but it's still in there. So there is a seed of hope in all of us. There's a quote from Anne Frank from The Diary of a Young Girl, and it says, it's really a wonder that I haven't dropped all of my ideals because they seem so absurd and impossible to carry out. Yet I keep them because in spite of everything, I still believe that people are really good at heart. That's Anne Frank. Okay. Think about that. Just let that sit in with you for a little bit. somewhere in this young little girl, there was hope, and she understood the human spirit. And she had it even as a little girl. We're born with it, I guess, right? Once we start really thinking on our own, who knows when that really is, there's something within us. So, you know, I was thinking about this morning. I couldn't believe I woke up in the middle of the night last night and saw snow on the ground. And I was like, oh, I can't take it anymore. And I know there's bigger problems in the world, but I was one of those people that put flowers in too early. Whoopsie daisy. And so I was afraid that my flowers would just freeze and die. They didn't, surprisingly, yet. But I thought about that when I got up this morning. And yet I still had hope. I had hope that I was going to look out the window, and I had hope that I was going to be able to see that my flowers were still standing up, and they were, you know? So what drives you? What is something that brings you that feeling? You know, it's that gut feeling of hope. Now, you know, I do read the Bible. There is a lot of discussion about hope. There's a lot of discussion about faith, obviously. And my faith is very strong, but it can be tried, you know? And even like when I read things about Buddha, and, you know, right now I'm reading the Book of Joy, which is so awesome. If I can recommend you guys to read that, oh my God, it is so good. It's with the Dalai Lama and the Archbishop Tutu and their relationship and this week together, how they are. And they do talk about hope. They do talk about the human spirit. Now, when you think of Dalai Lama, he's like always smiling. And even Archbishop Tutu was smiling. You know, they have this kind of aura about them. But in the book, it discusses how, you know, it's not like they're ignoring or unaffected by all of the dark things in the world. They know about unhappiness. They know about starvation. They know about just the suffering that goes on in the world. But somewhere in there, they find hope and joy. And they know that it's in the human spirit. And we have to protect that. Okay. We have to protect our human spirit. So last week I was asked a lot to do benefits, believe it or not, virtually. And while it seems easy, you know, you just push play and live, whatever, record, there is a mentalness. It's kind of wears on me a little bit because, one, I prefer to be with people when I perform. I prefer to be around the human spirit. And this pandemic is keeping that from me, that connection. So all I have while doing these concerts, and I'm doing them for great causes, a lot of nonprofits have been asking me to do stuff. And if this is how I can give, oh my gosh, thank you for the opportunity. I feel blessed to be able to give. But I could feel being on the computer and just not being able to totally see how people are and just only seeing these little applauses and these little hearts coming through, that I wasn't sure how it was affecting people. And there were people on there that, like, I would see their names, and it was people I hadn't talked to in a while. And it was like, it's such an emotional thing for me. And so what I felt by the end of the weekend was depleted. I felt totally depleted. Now, why? I don't know. I can't explain it. But I also know that when you recognize that, your human spirit, your soul is like, feed me. And sometimes all that means is step back. And it means to take a breath, to get quiet, to envision, you know, I do this a lot. I envision my soul. I've said this before on my shows that my soul is basically, you know, everyone, there's been a reading I had, I saw that it said, picture your soul as something, like something attainable that you can vision, you know, envision. And so I always picture it, of course, chocolate has to be involved. I picture like those M&M guys, you know, the ones with the little white hands and they wave. That's what I picture. I picture that as my soul. And I felt like my soul was melting. And he wasn't chipper. And so I knew that I have to do some changes in order to take care of my soul and my human spirit and my energy so that I can share it with others when the time is right. So along with that, that does come with hope, right? I hope that I have the time. I know I will give myself the time to regenerate and build my spirit back up. You know, Mother's Day is hard for me. And it was beautiful in the sense that my daughter did an amazing job of making me breakfast. And my husband took really good care of me, too. And they bought me a plant. And it was so nice. And it didn't die in the freeze. Yay. But, you know, again, going back to the human spirit. And if your human spirit's tired, if your soul is tired, if you are tired, you can't, it's harder to find the hope, right? But there's always that little seed in there. I mean, it is, it's just, it surprises me. You know, even when I know of a certain person that's going through a really, really, really hard time right now. I know quite a few people going through a hard time right now, but somewhere in there during our conversations, when they're saying how all of these things are happening to them, and it's just so sad to be going through life altering negativity during a pandemic. It's like, are you kidding me? But somewhere in there, in their conversations or in their actions, they are still moving forward. They may feel like they have bricks on their feet while they're walking forward, but they're going forward. And to me, that is hope. That is saying somewhere out there, they believe that there is a better life for them, or that there is going to be an opportunity for them. And this is some of the people that are dealing with some of the darkest stuff you could imagine. And it blows my mind that somewhere in there, they still have that seed in them. Now, it may be from support of other people, like things I may say to them or things that family or friends may say to them. But still, when it comes down to it, when it really comes down to it, when they speak and when they move, that's them. That's not me. That's not their family. That's not their friends. That is their human spirit. That is their hope that there is something and something is pushing them forward. And I think that is amazing. I'm going to read this, a couple other quotes. I believe that imagination is stronger than knowledge, that myth is more potent than history, that dreams are more powerful than facts, that hope always triumphs over experience, that laughter is the only cure for grief, and I believe that love is stronger than death. Now, that is written by Robert Fulghum. That's F-U-L-G-H-U-M from All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, Uncommon Thoughts on Uncommon Things. Now, let me repeat that, too, because I think that is such, it's such a huge statement. It kind of helps me wrap around where hope comes from. So that the imagination, he says, I believe that imagination is stronger than knowledge. So how many times do you know, like, all right, and I know for me, where if I try to get a gig or I try to get something, and I mean, man, I have been turned down by people a million times, but I keep going back. I keep going back saying, I know my music will be great at this festival, or I know I could open for this national act, or I know. So somewhere in there, in my imagination, in my hope, in my human spirit, it overrides knowledge. It overrides knowing that I may get turned down, knowing that they've turned me down before, and knowing that it may not work out the way I want it to. But somehow in my imagination, in that hope, in that human spirit, it overpowers it. So it's stronger than knowledge. The myth is more potent than the history. So how many times when we think about the government, even, I mean, every time there's a presidential election, the new president comes in saying they're going to do this, that, and the other thing, even though history has proven many times over that presidents will get in and they won't be able to get as much done as they thought they could. But guess what? The myth in their mind, they will say, I will get this done. And it overrides the history that they know, that they've seen, that they lived in, but they do it anyway. And I think that's so important for all of us, that even though we may be on a path somewhere where we've seen somebody else go down that path and we're like, oh, that's what could happen. But you know what? I'm going to say no. I'm going to go down that path and it's going to be different for me. So, and then, of course, I'm all about dreams, right? That dreams are more powerful than facts. I agree with that. I have seen miracle upon miracle in my life by just dreams that I've had. Just having this thought that would come to me in my sleep. And I would then wake up in the next morning and act on it. Now, it was a dream, for God's sake. It wasn't a fact, or people saying to me, you can't pull that off. There is no way you're going to pull that off. Or people who live in fear would tell me, are you crazy? Why bother? Just sit home. Don't do it. Don't put yourself out there. You know what? But the dream always, always, always overrode my facts, for sure. I've lived my whole life that way. And it just works. It works for me. And I've seen it work for my clients. And it really is awesome. Why not? We're on this planet. Let's just have a little fun. Okay. So that hope always triumphs over experience. Now that one, I'm having a hard time getting my head around. But so hope overrides triumphs of the experience. And I guess let's think about that. Okay. I'll use this as an example. We've experienced slavery. We've experienced racism, horrific, horrific racism. We also had Barack Obama as the president. Now, normally I don't talk politics, but this is just a great example where you think about, that there is hope triumphing over experience. Now, think about the people that had grandparents who were slaves, or people that had family that was in Auschwitz. Think about all that. And yet, the hope for their children and their grandchildren and so on and so forth was that they would survive, that they would thrive in a world that they were not allowed to do so. And that is hope triumphing over experience. It is so exciting when I hear stories about people who have families that have never had the opportunity to go to college. And they may be the first daughter to ever go to college and graduate and become a doctor or something like that. You know, it's like that is hope triumphing over the experience. Now, those parents could have sat back and said, you know what, in my experience, I never could go to college. I could never afford it. I could never make it. And so, yeah, we're not even going to let you think about that. We're not going to give you hope. We're not going to say you can do it. Hope is actually the door opening. That is you putting your hand on the door handle and opening and saying, I'm willing to go out there and fight all of the knowledge, all of the experiences I may have, you know, all of the history that's out there that says I couldn't do this, but yet it gets you through. Think about Albert Einstein. Think about all the scientists. Think about all the people that have had to go over and over and over again. And in their experiences, their trials were not working. And you know, anything could tell them to stop. Like enough, you know, you've spent money, you've spent time, you've spent a lifetime, you've, you know, taken time away from your family, just the sacrifices that you did to try to make this work, just stop. Well, somewhere in there, and all those scientists, thank God, they had hope. Somewhere in their human spirit, they had a fight in them that was bigger than anything, and they just kept going. So I think that's so amazing to me that we somehow you can feel it stirring in you. You can, you know, when you feel like, oh my gosh, my bank account's empty, my car's not running, my, you know, my marriage isn't working, something like that. Somewhere in there, there's this hope that's like, I am going to have another car someday. Someday I am going to have, because you wouldn't even have that feeling of grief if you didn't know on the other side of it, there could be another answer. So you don't give up. Even on days where you feel dark, there is still that little bit of hope in you, that little seed. So the other one, the laughter is the only cure for grief. Okay, I don't know about you guys, but when my dad died, I'll tell you this story. My dad, and it sounds terrible while I was laughing, but let me give you the story. So here we are in hospice. I have had no sleep for 10 days straight. I am just out of it. And when your mind is deprived of sleep, anything can happen. So, and I hope my attorney's not going to kill me for saying this story, but it is a funny story. So, you know, he had texted me to ask me how my dad was, and my daughter and I just kind of stepped out of the room for a minute to get some, just to get some air and let my other siblings in there and some other visitors. And as I'm walking down the hall with my daughter, there's this text from my attorney that says, I'm watching your dad out the window having sex. And I'm like, what? What is he doing? What is he talking about? And my daughter looks at me and I'm horrified. And I'm like, and he's like, almost like joking. And I'm reading this text and I'm like, what? And so my daughter and I are, Emma's like, what does he mean? And so then the next text comes in and it's this horrified emoji. And he is like, I am so sorry. That wasn't supposed to go to you. That was supposed to go to my wife. She always says that her dad comes and visits her as a cardinal, a red cardinal. So when he looked out the window, the red cardinal was mating with another cardinal, and that text was supposed to go to her, not me. But the story, my daughter and I, in the midst of death, in the midst of hours about to lose my father, were laughing so hard, I almost peed my pants. We had tears just streaming down our faces. And these nurses thought we were hysterical with grief. We were actually laughing and we felt guilty that we were laughing. But that laughter, oh my gosh, did it just alleviate grief, even for just a moment, even for just a moment. And what's important is that within that moment of laughter, it was like my human spirit was, it's like it got pulled out of the reality I was in into another state of mind. And I could just relax for a second. I could just find some peace of mind for a second. And it was such a gift. I mean, my attorney is still horrified. Every now and then I'll send him a picture of a cardinal and he'll just be like, oh my God, oh my God, you know, but it is just the best story. So, you know, think about that. Let me just leave that thought with you again so that you guys are with me on this week. When you wake up tomorrow, even during the day today, remember your human spirits in there. Picture it. I don't care if you picture it Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, whatever you want, Bob Dylan, you name it. But okay, so I believe that the imagination is stronger than knowledge, that myth is more potent than history, that dreams are more powerful than facts, that hope always triumphs over experience, that laughter, I always think of a red cardinal, is the only cure for grief. And I believe that love is stronger than death. So with that, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in to Dream Big with Jill Jack, and know that your hope is in you, that your human spirit is in you. You can't get away from it. It is there. Feed it. Give it energy, give it love. As corny as that sounds, it will help you smile and get through anything. Love you with love. Take care. Dream big. Have a great week.